Chapter 11, faith chapter. Some have called this the Hall of Faith, where they list the great men of faith who walked with the Lord, who walked by the power of the Lord, who walked by the power of the Holy Spirit of the Lord, great faith that the Lord gave them. But just thinking about it before service started, you and I get to go through each one of these things. And as you look at it that way, it kind of puts a whole different perspective on the way that we look at this chapter. It wasn't just a great men of faith, but it's a great God who gives out great faith. And he gives us that great faith to do the things that these men and women that are listed in this chapter are going to do. And we could take weeks just to go through this chapter, just looking at each person. But because time is short and Jesus is coming, we're just going to go through the whole chapter. So, but I encourage you, if you want to get blessed, if you want a really great study, just sit down and look at each person separately and just do a study on their lives. It's such a great picture and can bring great encouragement to your heart as you look at it. But it starts out here, and remember, we're talking about Jesus being the high priest now. We're talking about the new priesthood, the new covenant, the new ways. But in the midst of it, the Lord kind of interjects this chapter, and it's just this chapter that faith is the place that we need to go to, that it is not following the law. It's not doing all of those things. It's just trusting the God who wrote this. And it's trusting him to the point of it having affecting our lives. That as it affects our lives, it causes us to action. That we're not just going to sit there and read it and say, that's great. I'm glad Abraham had faith. That's wonderful. I'm glad David had faith. That's wonderful. But it means nothing to me. Hopefully that this just really grabs a hold of us and brings us to a place, because we're doing the same thing in Numbers, going through by faith and walking by faith, coming through the wilderness trials just like you and I are. And here we are in this place of having to walk through this world by faith. And we see so many things that would cause us not to walk by faith. But the Lord doesn't want those distractions to come in and keep us from seeing what great faith he can have for us and use for us so that we can see him better and just be encouraged in him. And it says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for. So he starts out with this definition of what faith is, because we hear about faith. We know that we have to have faith in God, the faith of God, because we know it's Jesus's faith that we have. It tells us that in Galatians, that it's his faith that he gives to us so that we can even believe, because we don't even have faith enough to believe if it wasn't for Jesus giving us his faith. That shows how needy we are. If you didn't think you were needy, now's the time to get to that place. You're needy, and we need faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substance. There's substance to this faith. It has characteristics. It has meat to it. It has strength to it. It has power to it. It has purpose to it. There's substance in our faith. In this, it's because of the Lord that we have that substance, because he's the substance of it. He's the one that gives it. He's the one that directs it. He's the one that uses it. He's the one that can empower it for us. And so he is the substance of it, and he gives us all these characteristics of it. And he says it's the evidence of things not seen. And that's how we're supposed to be walking as Christians, is this New Testament church. The Old Testament people had the fire at night, the cloud by day. They followed the Lord, but they still didn't believe him because they still wanted to go back to Egypt. So just because we see things, just because there's miracles happening, it doesn't mean that we have real faith. It doesn't mean that we're walking by faith. Israel had it for 40 years as they walked through the desert. And how many times did they want to go back to Egypt for the leeks and the onions? There was no substance in that. The substance that we have is well beyond anything that we see here in this world, here on this earth. But it's evidence of things not yet seen. How can there be evidence of things that aren't seen? Because he's the substance. And as we see him in our mind's eye, in our spiritual eyes, we have that substance and we have the evidence of it, and it causes us to walk by faith. And that's for the New Testament church. He wants us to walk by faith. Well, Lord, I don't even want to walk, much less walk by faith. He says, but it's the greatest life you'll ever have. Oh. And he says in verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. They obtained a good report because they walked by faith. That great cloud of witnesses, that number of people who were walking with the Lord by faith and trusting him by faith. And as he goes through this group of people that he's going to show us, this isn't a complete list. This is just a partial list, just a partial list of people, but there's different characteristics around each and every one of them, but they're characteristics that can identify with our faith. If we look at it, as we watch it, as we trust it, as we walk in the truth of it, we realize that we can be part of this. That it wasn't just for them, it's for you and I. Oh, and that puts a whole different package around it that we see. He says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And you know what? If you have faith enough to believe that God created the world by speaking the world into existence, you have more intellect and more understanding than most of the PhDs in the world. That is something. And the Lord sees that as more worthwhile than getting a PhD in something that you can see. Oh. Through faith. It's only through faith that we believe it. It's only by faith that we trust it. But that faith has substance to it. And that faith has substance for us to grow us in grace and in the knowledge of who he is. It doesn't have a substance so that we can get something from it. It's so that we can believe and trust that our God is real. Oh, and we say, boy, I wish I was here when Jesus was here. Here we are coming into the Christmas season, and we go through all those things, and I'm starting to go through and looking for scriptures, and because it's hard to go through Luke chapter 2 every time you do Christmas. You know, you got to almost look for something else to add to it and to put with it and to encourage people with it and go through it and encourage yourself in it. The Christmas story is wonderful, but it's still by faith. Do you believe that Jesus was a real person, that he stepped down on earth to minister to you and I? It's just, that is just amazing. God, you came down from heaven, from the glory of heaven, to put on clothes like us and to walk through a world that was depraved, that was under a curse, that's awful, that's sinful, and you came to save us. That's faith, and we get to believe it. And the world looks at us and says, you people need to have white coats on, and you need to be in rooms all by yourself. You know what? We're the only sane ones. We're the only sanctified ones. We're the only real ones in the whole world. It is just amazing what faith does. I can believe that. And yet the world has faith, but it's a different kind of faith. They get in their cars and they, by faith, think that they're going to start. They get in an airplane and by faith, they hope they're going to make it to someplace. Isn't it crazy that they have faith, but it's in things that they can handle. It's in things that they can see. It's in things that they can understand a little bit. They can understand how airplanes can get off the ground and do all of that stuff and go through all the mathematics and all of that. And it's wonderful and great. But we believe in something we can't see. And yet the Lord says it's evidence. And when you put something on trial, you need evidence to prove your point. And he says, this is my evidence. Well, that's not real evidence, Lord, according to man's evidence, but according to God, it's evidence. Oh. And we have proof that our God is real. He spoke the world into existence, and he gave us everything we needed to live in this world. Oh. And how did he put it together? It's just amazing that we have air to breathe, that we have the right amount of oxygen and nitrogen and hydrogen and all those elements that are here, that the earth is just in the right place, so that it doesn't get too much sun, especially Rochester, we don't freeze to death. We're just in the right place. Lord, you did that. Yeah, I did. By faith, we believe it, we trust it. But the world who can't believe it has to come up with all these things that says, we've got to figure out a different way, a better way to explain all of these things. So we'll put evolution in. We'll put all these other things in. We'll put in the Big Bang. We'll throw in some other stuff, and we'll just say that this is how it happened, because they can't believe the evidence of God that's before them. And why did he pick you and me to believe it? Why not pick the smart people of the world? Look at us. Just, I graduated just because they wanted to get rid of me. It's just, come on. And yet you pick me to believe this and to trust it and to proclaim it. Oh, it's just amazing that we have a God that loves us that much that he would entrust to us faith, his faith, entrust that to us and say, now believe me and trust me in all of your ways, in all of your days, in all of your situations. Trust me by faith that I'm doing a good work and that I'm going to bring you through. Will you do that? And some days we say yes, and some days we say, not even a chance, Lord. I'm not believing anything of that. And yet he still loves us, and he entrusts more faith to us. And there's evidence to it, and there's substance to it. And as we grow in our walk with the Lord, as we grow in who he is, that substance becomes more and more real. It almost becomes tangible, doesn't it? That you know when you're singing songs and worshiping, that there's real worship there, that God is present, and you raise your hands and you just worship. You close your eyes and you can almost sense his presence. You can almost feel the him right there with you, just ministering to your heart. There's substance. It brings us into a relationship with him. He says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which were not made of things which do appear. So many definitions of faith. One pastor said that faith is always revealed by obedience to the revealed will of God. Faith is revealed as we're obedient to the things that he has for us. Warren Wiersbe says that true Bible faith is a confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. In spite of those things, we believe that God's word is true and that he's going to bring us through. So he starts out and he brings us these people as he starts bringing us these examples of faith, these examples of people who had faith in Scripture, in all of different calls of faith, but it was the same faith. All different aspects, all different pictures of faith, but it was all the same substance of faith that God has given to each and every one of us. And what we need to realize is that it's not faith in the call, but it's in faith in the one who calls. We don't have faith in the call. We don't have faith in faith. We have faith in God who brings us and calls us to come to walk by faith. He says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It was a more excellent sacrifice. Cain brought a sacrifice. You remember the story. You remember the picture back in Genesis, Cain and Abel, and there's the first murder in history. Excuse me. But Abel offered to God. He offered it to God. He offered a sacrifice. Somewhere along the line, Adam and Eve and the families and the people had shown him that there was offerings to be made, that there was a God who was over this, that there was a God who walked with them once upon a time. Can you imagine Adam's hurt every time he sacrificed to remember that he used to walk with God in the cool of the day and talk with him? And he lost that presence. Oh, and yet he passed it on, still by faith. And Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. Here we see faith that worships. And we're going to see different ones as we go through. But again, take a look at these and remember them, and then we'll get back to them, hopefully. So his faith was displayed in the offering that he brought. It was displayed to God and for God that this is my offering. God wasn't looking at the sacrifice so much, was he? He was looking at the heart. And he brought the right sacrifice because God had ordained a good sacrifice in a sacrifice that wasn't so good. Cain brought the one that wasn't so good because he did it out of his own work. He was walking in works, trying to get somewhere, and he didn't get it. But here's Abel's faith, and it's on display. You know what? When you offer to God yourself as a living sacrifice, like it tells us in Romans chapter 12, what are you doing? It's on display. When you tell your family, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord, it's on display. When you sit down at Thanksgiving and you say, let's pray, and they all look at you like you've got six heads on top of your shoulders, and they say, pray for what? Let's just chow. You're on display. Ooh, we're on display all the time. Are we offering it as a living sacrifice to God? Abel was on display in front of Cain, in front of the rest of the family, but there was worship. There was faith in his worship. There was faith in his worship because he trusted the God who he was bringing the sacrifice to. He was bringing that offering to a living God. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. That's the witness. That was the display that he was a righteous person. He didn't proclaim it. But what did Cain do? He didn't like it. You self-satisfying hypocrite, you self-righteous Christian, you think you're holy. No, I'm just doing what my faith tells me to do. Oh, we're not self-righteous. We're not here for glory. We're here to glorify him. But the witness he obtained was that he was righteous. He was a righteous man. Was he always righteous? No, he did things wrong. But in this offering, he was righteous, and by faith he was doing it. He was on display, and people around him didn't like it. In fact, it cost him his life. It says, God testifying of his gifts. Notice, he had gifts even then. Wait a second, Corinthians wasn't even written. How could he have gifts if Corinthians wasn't even written yet, where the gifts are listed? Because God is the giver of those gifts, and he gave his gifts all the way through. God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead yet speaketh. He speaks even though he's dead. He's dead. Remember, it says in Genesis that his blood was speaking out of the ground. Oh, it was his witness. It was his sacrifice. It tells us this in the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 41. He says, the same thing that was going on with Cain and Abel was going on here with Moses and Aaron. Remember, Moses went up to the mountain. And it says in verse 40, says, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us, for as this Moses which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. And so they made a calf. You know what? When you don't believe in God, when you don't believe in God's work, when you're not walking by faith, you're always going to have to make something that pleases you. You're always going to have to make something that will take the place of God so that you can walk what you think is rightly. It doesn't say that Cain was an awful man. He just brought the wrong sacrifice and didn't want to change. His heart was bad. Oh, but Abel was walking by faith. He goes on to the next one. In verse 5, he says, by faith, Enoch, and I love these. All of these are listed by faith. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. You know the story. You know the picture there in Genesis. As he's walking, he has a son, and then he starts believing in God and walking with God, and then he was taken. But it says Enoch was translated, was changed, was taken up, was raptured off this earth. Just a picture for us of what's going to happen with the New Testament believers, that we're going to be raptured one day. This is just a picture back in the Old Testament of what was going to come in the New Testament. He walked with God, and he wasn't there anymore. Oh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And that's what the Lord says about you and I. Those that are going to be raptured off this earth, the Christians that are going to be raptured, and we believe it's soon, and I hope it's real soon, but we aren't going to see death in that way if we're raptured off this earth. We'll be new creatures, new creations. We won't have to die physically. But it says he was not found. And what happened? They looked for him, didn't they? Where is he? We got to find him. and those were prophets. And they said, he had to fall out of the sky somewhere. He's on the ground somewhere. Let's go find him. And they couldn't find him. Ugh. That's a whole nother story. Anyway, because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony, he had this display, he had this faith that he pleased God. Here's demonstrated faith. Here's faith that's demonstrated by a walk that believes that God is true, that God is real. And remember, he wasn't saved for the first 65 years of his life. He just walked in this world, and when he had a child, something clicked and it just came together, and he walked with the Lord after that, after he had Methuselah. That, oh, here I am. It was demonstrated faith. So we have faith that worships, faith that demonstrates itself to the world, and the world saw the results of it. Where's Enoch? He's gone. Chariot of fire came and took him. Whoa. Yeah, right. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? Instead of the northern lights, we could just have chariots of fire coming down and taking people home. That would be cool. I'll volunteer for that one. But it says in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Please who? To please God. You need to have faith. And faith in whom God has sent. We believe in Jesus Christ, God come in the flesh. And without that, there's no faith, and you don't please him. Lord, I want to be pleasing to you. You want to be pleasing to God? Well, yeah, that's what I'm here for. Then you need to believe who he is and walk by faith and trust what the word of God says to you. But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is. The first prerequisite is that you must believe. There's where belief comes in. Why do we have to believe? Because God says so. Well, that's good enough. You must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, those that diligently come after him. So here's faith that's documented by the work of believing. Because remember, it tells us in the Gospel of John in chapter 6 that this is the work that we must do. We must believe on him who he has sent. We need to believe in Jesus. That's the work that we do. That's demonstrated work. The work the world wants to do is that they want to make their own religion and make their own way to heaven, and you can't do it. That's what Cain tried to do, and it didn't work. That's why Abel's offering was more excellent, because it was what God prescribed, and he was walking by faith in bringing it. So we have this faith that worships. We have faith that's demonstrated. We have faith that's documented. Then we come to Noah, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear or reverence or respect for what God had said, and he built an ark. So we see here faith at work. Faith that works. You don't work for faith. You work as a result of having faith. It's always that direction. Because if you're working in the other direction, you're a Cain trying to earn your way to heaven. And you can't get there. Our faith, our works come from faith that's already instilled in us because of the presence of the Lord in our lives. And we work from that point. That's our reference point. It's not a reference point of working towards him. It's a working from him for what he's already done. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. What does it say back in the first verse here? The evidence of things not seen. Noah, it's going to rain. Right. Remember Bill Cosby did that? That was a great one. It's too bad he went off the deep end. What's rain? What's a boat? He gives him those, all the details. What did Noah need? All the details. I want you to build a boat. What's a boat? How do I build it? He gave him every detail he needed. When did he give it to him? After Noah believed him that this was going to happen. He didn't believe it beforehand and say, guess what, God, I'm going to build a boat for you. In case you want it to rain someday, I'll have a boat already. He did it from the faith of believing God, that God told him those things, and then he built it. So it was the point after, not the point to get to it. Just like our faith, just like our works. They come from a point of believing and trusting. Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, he prepared an ark. For why? For the saving of his house. Folks, we need to save our households. And you aren't going to get there by working. You're going to get there by believing who God is. By the which he condemned the world. Noah condemned the world? What, by his preaching? No, by doing what God said. And the world laughed at him. The world mocked him. 120 years he was building a boat. And they mocked him for 120 years. Folks, how long can you stand it with people mocking you for your faith? If you're doing something for the Lord, if you're walking with the Lord. It gets kind of uncomfortable, doesn't it? Especially when you don't see anything happening, because it didn't start raining until the boat was done. Ooh, that's a long time to get mocked. It's a long time for people to laugh at you. It's a long time for people just to walk by in disbelief of what you're going through. Nobody got saved from it, just his own home. But it condemned the world. Why? Because when it happened, all of them were killed. Only the eight that were on the ark were saved. And he became an heir of righteousness. And that's us too. We become heirs of righteousness. How? The same way Noah did. We believe God. And in all of these, you and I are going to face all of these situations at some time. We're going to enter into that same place Abel did. We're going to have faith in our worship. The same way that Enoch did, we're going to have faith that needs to be demonstrated to the world that we trust the Lord and that we're going to walk with him no matter what the world says. We're going to be like Noah, that the Lord is going to ask us to walk in a way and come towards him and do something for him. And as we do that, we're going to have to walk by faith. But it's the same faith that he gave to Noah, to Abel, that he's going to give to you and I, because it's his faith. We get to enter into these same things that these folks are doing. So as you go through them, don't just look at those names and say, well, they were great men of faith. You know what? If you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, you have great faith because you have a great God that's given you great faith. I don't have much faith. If you have a mustard seed of faith, you can tell these mountains to move and they'll be cast into the sea. We're going to enter into these same places. You can put your names there. By faith, Abraham, verse 8. We're not going too fast, are we? By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should receive, receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. By faith, he obeyed. So we have faith, and we see Abraham here, and we know the story of Abraham. And so here we have a faith that's able to wait. This is the one we don't like. Lord, I want instant faith. You know, like instant rice. 2 minutes, you got rice. Oh, this is good. We don't want faith that takes 100 years. Oh, but sometimes the Lord says, this faith is going to take a while. Can you wait? Lord, only in your strength can I wait. Only in your strength can I believe. This is faith in waiting. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place where he should go after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out, not knowing where he went. We don't know the way that we're going, do we? We don't know what one day is going to bring to the next day. We plan things, but we don't know if they're going to work. We don't know if we're even going to get there. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in a tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him by the same promise. So he brings the family with him. They're waiting too. And it says in verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He hadn't seen it, and he never did get to see it. In Psalm 107:7, and he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. The Lord leading, the Lord guiding, and the Lord giving them and granting them the faith to believe as they walked that they're going to a place and that they were going to receive the promise when they got there. You and I have that same hope. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God too, aren't we? We're looking for that place that Jesus is making where it's got many mansions. It says he's preparing a place for us. and he's going to deliver us to it. We do it at funerals all the time, that we say, hey, we've got a place that we have a hope for, that God has promised us, that we're going where Jesus is building it right now. Did you ever think it was interesting that Jesus was a carpenter when he was here on this earth? And what's he doing in heaven? He's building a mansion. Gee. Just a side light. That's free. You can have that. But he says through faith, then as he goes on, through faith also Sarah. So here we have this first woman that's mentioned, Sarah. And notice her name isn't Sarah, the name after the Lord has ministered to her, but it's Sarah before faith, before salvation. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She was in that place. Remember, the Lord comes and ministers to Abraham, and he's outside the tent, and he says, hey, Abe, where's Sarah? Oh, she's in the tent. And the Lord goes, why is she laughing? He knew where she was. What he was really asking him was, Abraham, where's Sarah's faith? Does she believe like you? Does she trust like you? She's laughing at me right now. Even though I'm telling you that you're going to have a son and she's going to have the baby, she's laughing because she doesn't believe it. You know what? Evidently, somewhere along the way, she came to faith, because it says she received strength to conceive seed and she delivered a child when she was past age. Oh, somewhere in there was a click of faith and she believed. We used to laugh at Jesus too, didn't we? But there's no laughing now. There's rejoicing. There's a lot of difference between laughing and rejoicing. In verse 12, it says, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky. Talking about Abraham, he was as good as dead. That's a great way to think of him, isn't it? Abraham, you're as good as dead. You're so old. You're older than dirt. So many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand of the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. All of them died not receiving the promises. And the question, as you look at this, isn't, well, that's dumb, is how about you and your faith? Would you believe even though you never see the end result of the promise? Oh. Can you trust all the way through and never see the answer, but still believe till the day you die that it's going to happen? Can you trust that God is telling you the truth? Can you trust the Lord in the midst of it? And he's going to challenge us as we go through our days. Do you still believe? Do you still trust? Do you still think there's a heaven? Do you still think you're going to heaven? Do you still trust that I'm coming to get you? Do you still believe that I can save your family? Do you still believe for all of these things? Or has the days taken their toll on your spiritual life, on your faith, and you can't believe anymore? Keep that faith. Keep it fresh. We need a fresh faith, not just a faith that grows old and tired and gives up, but a faith that's refreshed every day. And you aren't going to get refreshed unless you're in the Word of God. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. And look at this progression that goes on. First, they were persuaded that they were true. And then what did they do? They embraced them. Have you taken the promises of God and embraced them for your own? Were you persuaded of them first? You can't embrace them until you're persuaded that they're true. The progression is wonderful here. They were persuaded of them, they embraced them, and then they confessed them. They witnessed of that. There's the witness that comes through, the demonstration of faith, the demonstration of what God says is true and real, and I'm going to believe it. So they were persuaded, they embraced them, they confessed them. The walk of our life, the walk of our life with him. And he says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They're in that walk with the Lord. They're in that walk towards the Lord. And they're in that walk together with the Lord. You're never alone. You're always walking with him and after him. It says in verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. If their minds were set on those countries, they would have returned. Where's your mindset? Is it like Colossians, that your mind is set on things above and not things here on this earth? Lord, give me that mindset where I'm not thinking about the things here in this world, but I'm thinking about yours. Help me to have your ways and your heart as I go. Great picture in Colossians, and I encourage you to read that, Colossians 3, 1 through 4. But it says in verse 16, but now they desire a better country. Where's your desires? Is it for what's here, or is it for what's to come? For now they desire a better country that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. It's already a done deal. In his mind, everything is complete and done. And he's not ashamed of you. Isn't that wonderful? If there's anybody that God should be ashamed of, it's us. Sometimes we are awful witnesses of who he is and awful demonstrators of a walk with the Lord. And yet he's not ashamed of us. That is just so wonderful for me. It's such an encouragement to keep going, because he's not ashamed of me. By faith, in verse 17, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. So here's this place where God is going to prove him. God is going to ask him to do something. He's going to ask him to give up his only son. And what you need to see here, too, is sometimes we do things in the flesh like Abraham did, and he had an Ishmael, didn't he? But he doesn't talk anything about Ishmael, but he talks about Isaac. And sometimes we have Ishmaels in our life, and God looks by those and talks about the Isaacs that we have, the things that we've done by faith in the arena of faith, in the arena of God's promises, in the arena of God's truths. And he proves us with those things. He offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up. This is how Abraham got through this time, as he took him up in Genesis chapter 22, is that he knew that even if he killed him, God was going to raise him up. How did he know that? Spend a lot of time with the Lord. Do you trust it like he trusted it? And you say, well, I believe in the resurrection. Do you? Do you believe that God can raise you up? Yes, Lord. Are you persuaded of it? Do you embrace it? And then do you confess it? Because if the confession isn't there, that means the embracing and the persuading aren't there. Oh, Lord, help my unbelief. That's a great statement in Scripture in the New Testament. We need to keep moving. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Isaac catches this faith and takes it for his own. It wasn't his father's faith. It was his faith. And again, we can't go on our parents' shirt tails. We have to go on our own. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. And as you look, when he was dying, he was still worshiping. He had a worshiping faith. Oh. Even in his old age, that says something to me. Even in your old age, you can still worship. And God receives it. And God uses it. And God blesses those watching it, because it was demonstrated to the whole family. Joseph was there. The others were there. He was talking to them. He gave them blessings. He ministered to them. And as he was dying, he worshiped. Oh, a worshiping faith. Lord, do I have a worshiping faith? And it's not mine, it's his. And he was leaning on the top of his staff, leaning on that thing that he was holding on to because he couldn't stand up on his own anymore. He was that old, he was that weak, he was that decrepit, and yet he was still worshiping. It's a great teaching in the nursing homes. Because all the walkers are lined up on the walls, and everybody's there, and you just go, You're not too old to stop worshiping. We need to keep going. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. So here's faith that sustained. And he didn't get to see this, because remember, he died. He said, I want you to take my bones to home. I'm not going home. but I want you to take my bones home. And it became reality because they did it. They saw the witness of it. They saw the proof of his faith walk. Joseph, a great story as you go through. The ladies are going through it. Great study, great things, but it's faith that's sustained. Lord, is my faith sustaining faith or is it a wavering faith? It sustained him even to his death. I know when I die, my bones are going home. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. There's some faith. Here's some faith in war, faith that wars. And you're all in battles, aren't we? So we see faith that's in a war as we go through with Moses' life and his parents' life, because remember, they were slaves. There was a war going on. There was a battle going on because they wanted to kill him. And yet it sustained them through that time. Can your faith be sustained when you become a slave? If somebody comes and takes over this country and we become slaves to them, will our faith be sustained in it? And we see people in Iran. We see people in China. In Iran, it's the fastest growing church in the world right now. There's underground churches in that country, and they say there's up to 1 million believers in Iran right now going to church. And it's just like, oh, you go. But where are they? In the midst of Satan's country. It is awful. The persecution is terrible. But their faith sustains them in the midst of battle. And we say, well, that's a visible war. We have an invisible war because we have Satan attacking us every day to not believe, to not to trust. Sometimes this battle is harder than a visible battle. Do you have the faith that can sustain you day after day and to trust him no matter what it looks like on the outside? By faith, Moses, when he was come to years in verse 24, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The whole picture of that is just a wonderful picture, but we don't have time. So verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He chose rather to suffer than to enjoy. And sometimes we need that kind of faith that chooses to suffer rather to enjoy, because there's more enjoyment in the suffering than there would be in the enjoyment. But we need to know when. Moses knew when because God told him, and he can do the same thing for you and I. He can show us when to suffer and when to go to enjoyment. In verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Wait a second, Jesus came after Moses. But look at what it says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. He knew things were going on. Who was he talking to? The Lord. He was a man of faith in this war that he was going through. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He had insight and understanding for things that weren't going to come for hundreds of years. And yet he believed it. And he walked in the truth of it. How's your faith doing so far? I feel like a... verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, the riches of the world, not fearing the wrath of the king. He forsook Egypt, and he didn't care if the wrath of the king was coming after him. I don't care who that guy is. My God's bigger than he is. Oh, for he endured. So here's an enduring faith. And we're all going to see parts of these things, aren't we? Sometimes your faith is going to have to endure. Sometimes your faith needs to be sustained. Sometimes your faith has to war. Are you ready for any one of those? If you've got his faith, you're ready. Then you need to exercise it and to let it come to pass. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who's invisible. I trust what I can't see. Oh, thank you, Lord. Through faith, verse 28, he kept the Passover in the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So by faith he did that. Can you imagine? Did you ever think about it? As the Israelites were out there and they took take the blood and they start putting blood on their doorposts? What are my neighbors going to think? I'm not painting my door. I'm putting blood out here. They're going to think I'm a cannibal or something. I'm just, what's going on? They did it by faith. They trusted God. That is amazing to me. It's just, oh, Lord, the things they had to do It looked pretty silly to the world, but you know what? It saved them and delivered them. When the world fell and died, they were still alive. Oh, by faith, verse 29, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. They did it by a work, and it killed them. The Israelites did it by faith, and it saved them. That's what faith does. It saves where the world kills. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. So here's faith in winning. We like this one. But you know how dumb they look? Did you ever listen to the VeggieTales? And they're marching around the walls and the peas are laughing at them on the wall. It's a great it's a great one. Or the grapes or the peas, whatever they were. But it's great. What are they doing? We don't know. They're walking around the wall. Now what are they doing? They're sitting down. Oh, they're up again. It's a new day. They're walking around. They're blowing horns, but they're not talking. Amazing. And sometimes we think it looks foolish, but you know what? God's ways are never foolish to us. They're for a purpose. The world says you look foolish, but you know what? God has a purpose, and it's not foolish to him. It's growing us, and it's teaching us, and it's moving us towards the right direction. By faith, Rahab the harlot perished not with them that believe not. She was a harlot mentioned. Oh, and she also was in Jesus' line. Did you know that? Isn't that great? He's got history in his heritage. Oh, amazing. But that's who God saves. That's who God loves, are those that trust. Rahab the harlot perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. She received them, and the spies trusted her. I was thinking about that and reading through it this week. You know what she did? She hid them under corn stalks. If you were a spy and you knew there was a whole army looking for you, you're going to hide in some corn stalks and trust that it's going to be good? They trusted her. Amazing. Amazing faith on all their sides. How come the army couldn't see through that? God. And what more shall I say? Verse 32, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel. Look at David just gets a one sentence message here. I mean, these other guys have got lines and lines, and he just again, David. And yet he had as great a faith as they did. You know what? Put your name in there because you have a great faith as David does, as Abraham does, as Rahab does, because you have the faith of Jesus Christ and you have a great God who gives great faith. You can walk by faith. You can trust tonight for the things that you're facing. Verse 33, it says, who through faith they subdued kingdoms. They took down whole kingdoms. Amazing. The kingdom of darkness. They took it down. Oh, how? By faith. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. We know that one. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weaknesses were made strong. Highlight that one. Do something with it because we're weak, aren't we? But when we're weak, he's strong. When you're walking by faith, you can be made strong. They wax violent in fight. They turn to flight the armies of the aliens. There's aliens all around. I went by a license plate today, and I have to believe the license plate says UFOs are real. That was the license plate. I mean, you got to believe it. It's on the license plate. New York approved it. It's got to be real. But he says they turn to flight the armies of the aliens. That's what you and I can do with the great faith of our Jesus with us. Verse 35, the women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. You won't know until you believe. You won't know until you trust. That they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and in imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they were wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Folks, that may be some of us someday. Do you have faith to go through that? Do you have faith to trust that? Oh, I have faith for some of the others. I'll walk around a wall, but getting sawn in half, I'm not sure about that one. You know what? It takes great faith to sit there and still trust the Lord while the saw is coming. Oh, Lord, help me to trust. Of whom the world was not worthy. Look at what the Lord says about these people. The world wasn't worthy to have these men in their presence. Oh, that's what he thinks of you and I, who walk by great faith. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. Wait a second, what happened to the Naamans and Claimants? I mean, if we're really children of the Lord, we should have mansions all the way through here. What do you mean living in caves and walking in the desert? So much for the Naamans and Claimants. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, look at where it comes from. They had the same report that was in the first couple of verses there. The elders obtained a good report. What does it say here? All these obtained a good report through faith, and they still didn't receive the promise, but they still believed. We may have promises that we may never see, but we need to believe all the way through. God, verse 40, having provided some better thing for us, a better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. As he brings us to that place, just showing us these things, he has a better way for us. He has a better place for us. He has a better hope for us. He's that better hope. All the way through, we've been seeing the word better 13 times in Hebrews, the word better. And it's always associated with Jesus and his resurrection, a better life, a better hope, a better covenant. All of these things, they're all associated with who Jesus is. And what does he say? They did it with faith. He puts us right in the middle of this. He says, here you are. You're part of the witness of that. And we have a great cloud of witnesses around us, just watching us, just saying, here they go. They're walking by faith. That is great. In the time that they're in, they're walking by faith. They're encouraged, they're delivered, they're helped, they're strengthened, even in the hardest of times, to say, Lord, doesn't matter what happens, I trust you. Father, as we go through, Lord, thank you for the hearing ears and the length of time that got lengthened out here. And thank you for the hearing ears in the midst of it. But Lord, such an important chapter, such a beautiful chapter, such a wonderful encouragement for us, Lord, that in these times that we're in, we can still have faith and trust and know that you're going to deliver us, know that you're going to keep us, know that we can trust you as we go through all these things because we walk by faith and not by sight. So, Father, help us if we're discouraged, if we're wavering, if we're in that place of having trouble believing, Lord, that you just strengthen us for it. That's what you did with all these men and women that you've mentioned. That's what you've done all the way through history with all the men and women that have gone before us, that you strengthened them. You gave them faith. You helped them. You encouraged them. And Father, they finished the work. They finished the walk. And they're now with you. Father, may we trust. Encourage us tonight in it, Lord. Help us as we go through it. We love you and we thank you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.